Those that are here, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we'll get our text from there this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll just read verse 4. Follow along with me if you will. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come to your word and we know there's so many things we don't know.
Amen.
Give us wisdom. Amen. Help us to understand your word and help us to apply it to ourselves, our families, our neighborhood, our whole being. We know, Lord, your word is right. Your word is true.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first three verses are instructive here too. Children, obey your parents. That's the way it's supposed to be. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the first commandment with promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then it says, ye fathers. I want to say that as I read my Bible, and as I read it again and studied it again for this series, daddies, you're responsible. You are going to answer to God for your family and for your children. That's for sure. Over and over again. Now, again, I had an awful lot of verses, and I chose certain ones, and some of them just repetition, just too much. Just get four or five of them, you know, simply because the Bible is so clear on it. He lays the responsibility on you. Now, a lot of us modern people, we lay the burden on the woman, on the mother. And the Bible does say the mother can be put to shame if her children aren't right. But the truth of the matter is, it's your responsibility, Dad. And if your family goes bad, that's your responsibility. If you don't raise them right, if when they walk into somebody's house, they're climbing all over the furniture and busting things and won't obey you when you tell them to obey you, it's your fault. That's where God lays the thing down. Now, let me say something. I've got five children grown. And I taught teenagers, middle school, for 20 years. Now, we as some of the teachers that I knew, we consider that combat zone. We thought we ought to get combat pay for teaching middle school. In high school, laid back, I don't care, you know, whatever. In little school, they're just running around your legs, you know what to do with them. Middle school, boy, they can target it. And they got more energy, and they got new hormones, and man alive, you have got a wild thing. You know the reason why they moved the ninth grade out of middle school and put it into high school? So they'd be around all the bigger ones. Ninth grade's tough. I mean, these kids are getting wild, okay? So they put them where 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, not 12-year-olds, 12 graders, they couldn't pick on them like they could pick on the other little ones. So that's why the whole thing changed, you know. Personally, I have experience of pastoring 56 years, teaching 20 years, and raising five kids in a 58-year marriage so far. So I'm going to speak a little from my experience. You may not like it. You may not approve of it. But I'm going to speak a little from my experience. Billy thinks he's got five PhDs. He raised five kids. That's an education. Every one of them is an education. I grew up, I was the baby of the baby. My daddy was the baby of his family, and I'm the baby of my daddy's family. All of my cousins are 10, 15, 20, 25 years older than me. Really. And so, I didn't grow up around kids. I never babysit. Can you imagine why they didn't pick me to come by and babysit their little baby? I'm hurt. I never babysit a time. I mowed lawns. I cleaned lots. I drove trucks. I did a whole lot of things working as I was growing up, but I never did babysit. The first baby I ever had anything to do with was Eddie, my first one. And I didn't know what to do with him, to tell you the truth. I'm sure glad Verlene knew a little bit. It changed my life. Kids change your life. They're your kids, and you raise one of them for several years, and you think, I know a little more about this now. And you get to the second one, nothing works that worked on the first one. You get to the third one, nothing works that worked on the first two. You are learning all the time, and every one of them is a little world all to themselves. And when they're born, they become the center of their universe. Isn't that the truth? They are just like I am. Just like you are. You know, I've read some on astronomy. Yeah, I've enjoyed it a good bit. But I read something somewhere recently that the human brain is so much more complex than the universe. They don't know anything. One of our friends has a wife that has Alzheimer's. And the doctor set him down. He was asking some things, you know. The doctor set him down. He said, your children, nor your grandchildren, nor your great-grandchildren, will they have a cure for this? It's too complicated. The brain is so complicated. Now, what you have is a little brain coming down in a little body. And it's completely helpless. If you don't take care of it, it'll die. It can't make it on its own. And so that demands a great deal of attention. And when you get that attention, you begin to focus different than you focused. You see, most of us marry when we're young. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody does. Some people wait till they're older. But quite a few, I did. Verlene and I both were 18 years old. We dated the last 2 years of high school. Got out of high school, got married. So I went in the service, went through college, went to the mission field, went in evangelism, all these things with a wife and kids. We didn't know anything. We were just kids. We were having fun. We dated for 2 years. We were having a ball, fighting all the time. That's the stubbornest woman you ever met. She's not here. But we did. We talked and we argued, and she always thought she was smarter than me, which I knew better, but you understand? We have always argued about things. And doctrine? Let me tell you what, some of you criticize me. Ah, you ought to see my wife. Just don't you criticize me to her. She'll eat your lunch like a mama bear. Don't, no. But she's going to take me home and say, now, did you say this about this verse? Now, look at this verse right here. I got to get my doctrine right, or I got trouble in the home. We have argued like that all of our lives. From the time we were dating, we had a great time picking on each other and talking. I would pick her up for school in the morning in high school. I would pick her up in the morning, take her to school. I would take her home from school. Then I would call her when I got home, and then we'd go out that night. Her mother said, what do you two have to talk about? I got to thinking, now my family was not this way. My personal family, Verena and I and our kids, we argued in front of the kids. We did. But we never had a fight. I never threw her out of the house. I never hit her. She never slapped me. My kids never saw us have a fight. And I was asking, I thought about my own family, and it made me think back to my parents. I never saw a fight between my mother and my father. I never saw her slap him. I never saw him hit her. What I saw was respect. Love and respect for one another. And then I got to ask her, I asked Raleen, I said, well, what about your parents? Did they fight? Because some of my neighbors, they had some knockdown dragouts. She said, no, I never saw one. So here's the two families that we grew up in, and the man and woman had worked out their situation to where they didn't fight. Do you realize how many kids are growing up right now? Maybe some of you. Growing up in places where one of them's throwing the other one out of the house, and the other one's locking the other one out of the house, or they're fighting, they're cussing, they're hitting, they're scratching, they're suing. And I got to thinking, the very first thing, if I were going to tell a parent, what do you think's the most important thing? What's the first thing you need to do to raise kids? Is grow up and get along with your partner. Amen. Just plain simple. Like I said, I was a kid. I just want to have fun. The world is still revolving around me. Verlene, same way. We got married, but that didn't slow us down much. Now, it did settle me down because I didn't have to look for a date. I had my girl. I was married. It was great. But I had some other friends that got married about the same time. So we'd be out partying, you know, playing games, going somewhere all the time. I went in the service. And about 18 months after we were married, Eddie was born. As I said, I didn't know anything. I was not in the birthing room. I was smoking cigars and playing dominoes with some of my buddies out in the room, you know. I never was in on the birth. I didn't want to be in on the birth. And some of you may know it's a great thing to do. It might be. I don't know. All I know is I played dominoes and whatever. All of a sudden, this little body is demanding most of my attention. And most of my wife's attention. In fact, more attention on him than on me. Some of the men can get to feeling a little bit deserted when that little baby comes along. And then, you know, when you take care of something, I don't care if it's a dog, a cat, a baby, an older person, or whatever, you take care of something, you're going to love it. When you take care of it, you're going to love it. And you can't get away from it. It may hurt you all over, but you're going to love it. And that's what happened. All of a sudden, I wasn't a kid anymore. I was a father. Now, I admit that doesn't change a lot of people's lives. A lot of men never take up being a father. And that's a shame. And a real problem we have. But I think it's been in all generations. I think it's always been that way. But it wasn't that way for me. I was a father, and I took my responsibilities seriously. And I knew I was pretty well a failure as a father. I was trying to do things, but I was still very much still a self-centered kid. Wanting my way, my thing, the world to wrap around me. What happened was, I began to compare my own father to me, and me to Eddie, my oldest boy. And one day, I realized that if he turned out as much worse than me as I did from the morals and the attitude and the character of my own father, he was going to be a devil. And it brought me to a real sense of repentance. And that's how I got saved. 8 days before Eddie became 1 year, I got saved. And then Billy came along a couple of months later. And I had two little boys. Wow. They became so much fun. They really did. Now, what's going to happen if you do things right is those kids are going to become your absolute best friends in life. Now, I know you got some best friends. You've known them 25 years or 30 years, 50 years, whatever. But if you do your family right, and if you can make a success of it, those kids are going to be your closest people the rest of your life. That's a blessing. Talk about a blessing. Kids are a tremendous blessing. Now, God gives them to us so that we'll grow up. Now, He makes a statement here. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I am a provoker. Most of the little boys I grew up with were provokers. Are your little boys provokers? It's as natural as can be. One of the things I really love about my little dog, well, he's 50 pounds probably. Not so little. But I can provoke him day in, day out, and he keeps coming back for more. He'll come back and bite my hand and fight me and almost can't wear him out. Fathers provoke. My daddy provoked me, I provoked him. My cousins, these older cousins, they'd provoke me, they'd tease me, they'd kid me or whatever, and I'd go after them. One of my favorite cousins died recently, and his daughter said, the way you two fought each other, but backed each other, loved each other, and it was. He was like my older brother. We provoke. Now, some people can't take that. Some women especially really get upset at that. I don't think you're going to change men. They're going to be provokers. They're going to push. They're going to trip. They're going to get in the way. They're going to hinder. We love. That's the way we play. If you played the other way, you'd be a woman. Or a girl, wouldn't you? You know there's a difference, right? He's talking about it, and he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You can go too far in anything. Yep. Raising kids? Man, what a heavy responsibility you've got. If you follow everything God tells you, is that a guarantee your son won't go bad or your daughter won't go bad? No. Remember what I told you? He's a little world unto himself. He's his own world. You're going to do your best to disabuse him of that idea. Tell him you're more important than he is. Your will is more important than his will. Your way is better than his way. But sometimes he's not going to believe you. And no matter what you think you've learned, you better just keep your eyes open real good on this next one that you're dealing with. They are the greatest psychologists the world has ever known. Children. They know how to work you. Are you one of these experienced mothers that can tell which cry the baby is crying? I'm not. I just hear crying. Somebody says, well, he's hungry. That's his hungry cry. Well, he's wet. That's his diaper change cry. You know what I'm talking about? Am I speaking the language? Is that right? All I hear is crying. Spank his little bottom and turn him over. Go to sleep. He's crying. They're psychologists. They know how to work you. When they come out of the womb, they are working you. And you mothers are so tender to them that you'd never spank them. And don't be spanking little babies, okay? You understand me? You're dealing with the greatest psychologist in the world, and if there is a split hair of difference between you two on how you're going to do discipline. And by the way, any two people in one room, they've got problems. I don't care who you are. Two minds, two of these little worlds, get in one room. We got problems. We don't think alike. I love Verlene. I love her with all my heart. I got the girl of my dreams. Got her when I was 16. Married her when I was 18. Wow. She's an old woman now. Hey, I still like her. I still love her. She's my best friend. But she has a mind that's different than mine. And just because I say it so, doesn't cut any ice with her. Prove it, boy. Chapter, verse. Book, chapter, verse. BCV. Show me your doctrine. Prove that you're right. Now, I'll have to give her credit. If I can prove her I'm right from the Bible, she'll follow me. But, hey, two minds? We don't think alike. We don't think alike now. As many things as we are alike on, we're alike on doctrine, we were alike on discipline, we were alike on morality and all sorts of things like that. We worked all that out over the years and going back to the Bible. And of course, both of us believed the Bible was the Word of God. We could go to the Bible to prove something and both be satisfied with it. You got a little child there, and if you differ in your ideas of discipline or what's right or wrong or what should be done, they're going to pick up on it. I don't know how. They're just that smart. They're going to pick up on it, and they will divide you. Now, here's the problem with a lot of divorced families. Some of you may be divorced. You may have children in different places. That is a real thing used by kids of divorced parents. They'll pit one parent against the other. If you don't give me my way, I'll go to daddy. If you don't give me my way, I'll go to mother. They use that all the time. That's because, like I'm telling you, these are not dummies you're dealing with. They are little worlds all to themselves, and they are smart, they're intuitive, and they pick up on the division. I don't know how my parents and Verlene's parents worked it out that they never had a fuss in front of their kids. But Verlene and I had plenty. We had plenty of arguments. I'm not saying it's right. I think their way was probably better. I'm wondering how they whispered at night to get things settled. You know? I never saw a fuss, never saw a fight, and there had to be differences of opinion. I know that. Both of them were intelligent women, both of them intelligent men. They didn't have great education, but that doesn't make a difference in intelligence. They were intelligent people. And they got things worked out so that their kids had a good, safe, welcome home and weren't worried about where mom and daddy were going to be tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. The very first thing, you want to raise a family, you want to have some kids, why don't you just build a real good home that makes a nest that that kid feels safe in? Feels safe. One of my friend's mother, a small woman, nervous type woman, and when she wanted to discipline him, she would grab him by the ear, she would slap his face and pinch him. I looked at that and I said, whoa, I never saw anything like that in my life. But that's the way she handled it. You need to get an agreement. And hey, by the way, you're married and kids are coming, you're not kids anymore. You may be mentally kids, emotionally kids, but you better get over it pretty quick, because that child needs an adult. Build him a home. Build her a home where she has a nest. She knows she's loved, she's protected, she's welcomed, she's not an interruption, she's not a problem. You love her. Number one, you grow up. And I believe that's harder in this generation than it was in mine.
Amen.
You've got to take responsibility. Start treating your partner, male or female, whichever side you're in, with simple respect. Respect. You show respect. I don't believe Earlene has ever disrespected me in front of a group of people. Now, a few times at home, I thought she did. She didn't respect my opinion, which I'm always right. First mistake I ever made. But in front of anybody, in front of your kids, I had a principal one time. He didn't like me. And he was trying to break me down, and I'm just hard-headed. And I've been around a long time. And he walked into my room in front of a class, and my Bible was sitting open, as it always did, on the top of my desk. And he said, "Close that Bible up and don't put that Bible on your desk," in front of the class. I said, "Let's step outside, sir." I didn't close my Bible. And we stepped outside, and I said, "If you want to talk to me, you call me to your office, you come in and call me out. You can rebuke me any way you want to, but don't you ever walk in my room and disrespect me in front of these kids again." And as far as the Bible, I don't only have that Bible, I got six of them over there in the bookshelf, and they can pick it up and read it anytime they want to in my class. Don't disrespect somebody. Your wife should be respected. You don't need to yell at her. You don't need to cuss at her. You don't need to slap her. You don't need to hurt her.
Amen.
You ought to show some respect.
Amen.
You ought to show some love. I knew my daddy loved my mother. I knew my mother loved my daddy. There was not a doubt in my mind. They never threatened to throw the other one out. They never threatened with divorce. They never threatened it. They didn't throw pans. And that's the same way Verlene's family was. Now, I don't know, is that just the Depression people? They went through, that generation went through tough times. Boy, they had to go through it.
Amen.
If you don't know about it, and you probably don't, but they did, and so I was born in the Depression. I knew my daddy didn't want another baby when I was born in 1936. No job, no nothing. Here's another baby coming along. But you know what? I was loved. And I knew that was my place. And I knew that was the most secure people I knew. Just growing up. And then when I got old, same way. Love and respect. Now let me say one other little word I want to add to that. Courtesy. It's one thing to tease. Have fun, joke, that's a good thing. I love it. Some people don't. But treat each other with courtesy. Some of you men, it wouldn't hurt you to walk with your wife. Dale was a very loving husband and a very good man. But he would run off and leave Nelda. Those little old legs are going, da, 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 da. And I'd say, walk with her. Well, she didn't walk fast enough. Well, you can walk slower. At times we'd work in cars and we'd go out to a junkyard. I finally quit trying to stay up with him. I mean, he'd have me breathing hard. I was like I was jogging, trying to keep up with those little bitty legs, just running all through these cars. And where are you, Dale? Where are you? You know. Show some respect. It wouldn't hurt you to open a door for her. It wouldn't hurt you at all. In fact, it's absolutely beautiful. How about a little courtesy? Men, you could at least hold the door open for her while she brings the groceries in. I mean, let's show some respect and courtesy around here.
Yeah.
Give them a good home, a safe place where they're welcomed, where they're loved. You are parents. It's time to grow up. When the kids start coming, quit thinking of yourself as kids and that you've got to have fun. Now, the first four words in the Bible are significant to me. They have been for a long time. In the beginning, God. Hey, you see that hand? It moves real good now. And it doesn't hurt much. In the beginning, God. That's the basis of everything. Everything else? By the way, if you can believe those four words, you can believe all the rest of the book.
Amen.
There's not a miracle that you have to doubt. There's not a problem that you have to face. In the beginning, God. God is the answer to everything. Now, God is the reason why we want to raise our kids right. If there were no God, if there were no judgment, if there were no consequences, you might be able to just let them drag themselves up any way they want to. But the Bible says God holds you responsible. Now, Abraham has a statement in Genesis 18:25. Why don't you turn to it? Genesis 18:25. This I rebuilt my faith on. I started out like a ball of fire. I went to college. Went through that fine. Went to the seminary. And while I was at the seminary, all of a sudden I had a crisis of faith. They shook me up on some things. And I got to looking at the Bible. I just reading the Bible, looking for an answer. And I came up with this verse. It's been one of my favorite verses ever since. Listen to what it says. Notice these words especially. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Can you say that? Hey, there are a lot of people think that God be a bad God. And a lot of people think that they don't like the Bible. They say, bad God. You know what I think? I think God's a good God.
Amen.
Why? For the faith of Abraham. I'm like Abraham. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's his philosophy. That's his doctrine. That's his life. It's put out there. I can trust God. Whatever he does is right. You may not like it. You may not understand it from this point of view where you're looking back from. But you know what? I've come to a place of faith in my life. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God will do right, and whatever he's done is right. Could you come to that place?
Amen.
If you could come to that place, it'd help you out a whole lot. I mean, in your doctrine, in your morality, in your marriage, in raising your children, a whole lot of other things. Is God right or not?
Amen.
Well, my personal point of view is God's right. I like what Abraham said. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? I believe he is. Now, that left me just saved. Now, I wasn't saved when Eddie was born, just before he turned a year, 8 days before it, I got saved. So I was saved when Billy was born. With Eddie, I didn't look in the Bible. I hardly read the Bible. I had one. But I spent a very little time reading it. I read other books. I'd read a book a night. We didn't have a lot of television, and there was some television at the time. But as I've told you before, I was 16 years old before my dad ever bought a television. So I grew up reading. But all of a sudden, I get saved. And I've come to the place, here's a God. God has a will. I want to do His will. Where am I going to find that will? In the Word of God. Now, I didn't know very much about it. I was just beginning to read it. But I read it an awful lot that first year or two. New Testament 20 times first year I got saved. Old Testament 3. I began to see things. And I began to say, you know, This is a pretty smart book. I'd ignored it most of my life. I went to Sunday school. I memorized scriptures. I was taught Bible stories. I had Christian parents. They weren't real strong in the sense of going to church and doing things like that. They were just believers. But they were believers. And all of a sudden I'm looking here. Do you see what he said? Is that right? Got to be right. And so I began to study the Bible. I think it might have been my dad. Somebody, probably my dad, bought me a big Strong's Concordance, one of the great big ones. Not the little one, but the great big ones. And you know what I learned to do? Take a word I'm looking at and look at every time it's mentioned in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. You know what? You'll learn something that way. Oh, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But man, you'll learn something that way. And so Verlene was already saved. She was saved at 16. But she wasn't really grown in the Lord or in the knowledge of the Word, other than what they teach in Sunday school or whatever. Not on her own. She read her Bible, but she wasn't that strong. But boy, when I started reading the Bible and telling her what I'm reading, like I told you, she's not going to let me get ahead of her, but she starts reading her Bible, and we're comparing and whatever, you know. And I said, what does the Bible say about what a parent ought to do for children? What does the Bible say about how to train them? And we begin to study it. And we begin to look at certain things. And so, we built our basis of what we were going to try to do from what the Bible had to say. What is the teaching of God? What has He got to say on these things? So we come back here to Ephesians 6:4. And it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How would you judge a good father? Well, the Bible seems to think character. A lot of fathers fail in character.
Amen.
You need to have a character that somebody can trust.
Amen.
You need to have a character that's sure of yourself, confident, faith. I look at somebody's character when I'm thinking whether you were a good father or a bad father. Character. There are a lot of bad fathers out there. There are some good fathers. I've met a few. But there are a lot of bad ones. And every day when you look at the news, every day when you see some of these shows on television and you see the families they came out. I know a preacher of the gospel and he's great. He didn't know who his mother was going to come home with that night. He grew up. His mother's sleeping around all the time. I mean, he didn't love his mother? No, he loved his mother. But character. What kind of a family is that to grow up in? What kind of a life is that to be? How about self-control?
Amen.
I told you about that woman, one of my friend's mothers, grab him by the ear and just pinch him and pinch him and slap him and pinch him. That was her discipline. My discipline? My mother said, lay across the bed and put your hands up.
Amen.
And then she busted my bottom. And you know what she used to do it? My daddy shaved with a straight razor most of his life. He thought Mr. Gillette was one of the smartest men. He said, you know, a man buys one razor all of his life. Maybe two razors in his whole life. And Mr. Gillette has you buy one for every day. But he had that old, and when he shaved, he dropped that razor. It was about this wide, I guess about 4 inches. And about that long. And it had one strap that was really beautiful, smooth leather. And the other side, which was rough, almost like fire hose. Really rough. And he would work his razor over on that thing. And then he would shave. That's what they spanked me with. You say, oh, no, it's great. Absolutely great. It's wide. It's flimsy. They hit you with that thing and it pops. It scares the daylights out of you. Pow, 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 pow. Hit him three times. Pow, 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 pow. And the poor kid is scared out of his gourd. And you haven't done any damage to him. You haven't done any harm. With a leather strap. When I went to school, my first grade teacher, I was pinching a little girl next to me. Provoking. She doubled my hands up like that and broke a ruler on them. A 12-inch ruler. When I got a little higher in school, the vice principal took me down to the boiler room. And he had like a baseball bat. Double-handed. And about that long. About so wide with holes in it. About 3/4 inch thick. Bend over and grab your ankles, Lindell. I'm going to try to lift you off the ground. Boom! It didn't damage me. I respected it. Oh, we need a little character, some self-control. You know what you got to be careful about? Disciplining your kids while you're still mad. That's dangerous. You're bigger than they are. You can hurt them. And you see that hand? That can hurt them. Hurt them worse than a paddle. My old grandma Kincaid, she would chase me. And she'd grab one hand. She'd have a switch she pulled off a trumpet vine and just sting my little legs. Now, I feared a trumpet vine. It's nothing. Go look at a trumpet vine right now. What kind of a switch could that be? But I was literally scared to death of that trumpet vine switch. And I would run from her and run around the house. She wouldn't chase me. She'd just stand behind the thing and grab me as I went by. How about a dad with wisdom? Don't you think maybe you need more wisdom?
Amen.
Oh, I need wisdom. I sometimes have prayed for the wisdom of Solomon. Good night. What am I going to do in this situation? Now, we were very strong. I would probably say that Eddie and Billy got a harsher raising than they needed to. I was going to make them perfect for the world. I never did make them perfect. I just want to let you know. It didn't work out. No, everything worked out fine as far as the kids. But the truth is, you need wisdom. And you need to temper your discipline by self-control. Now, don't go so far that your kid knows he can get away with things. That's a real mistake. You need to let them know who is boss, and it's not them. It is not them. They're not the boss. If they have their way, they're going to be in a disaster and nothing flat. What is the first thing I think you ought to teach your baby? The word no. When you say no, they stop everything. They drop everything. That way, if they're going to run out in the street and you say no, they'll stop right there where you wanted them to stop.
Amen.
If you don't have them under control, if they don't listen to you in the grocery store, if they don't listen to you in the backyard, they're not going to listen to you in the street.
That's right. Amen.
You need to establish who is the boss, who's the head. So fathers, you need to have your character improved. And by the way, you need to love. You need to love your kids. And you need to love your wife. And the kids need to know you love your wife. They don't need to see you abusing your wife. They need to see you loving and respecting and caring, courteous to your wife. Let me tell you something else. You want a really good family? We need a daddy that loves the Lord.
Amen.
Not enough just to be a daddy with a good character. You need to be a daddy that loves the Lord. Hey, when's the last time you read your Bible on a regular basis? You need to be a daddy that reads the Bible.
Amen.
I think you ought to read Proverbs. I think you ought to overuse Proverbs. There is so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to get to some of them later on. You need to be a dad that knows the Word, loves his family, loves morality, loves God, loves his wife, loves his children. Build them a home that's a nest. Build them a home that they can feel secure in. Build them a home they're not worried about. It's going to break up tomorrow. We got an awful lot of problems in the world today. A whole lot of them could be solved by intelligent grown-up parents. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
You're dismissed.